Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. 920 is our time. The Mary Griffith Show, fueled every morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. I drank mine black this morning. Had three artificial sweeteners in it, but drank it black. So Harvest Ridge Coffee is the only coffee I could ever drink black, but reminder to self, buy creamer over the weekend. Firefighter Ryan Meyer is here from the Quincy Fire Department. We're going to talk about firefighting and safety in general. This is not just, of course, for Quincy, but for a lot of places. This rain has been very helpful. A lot of drought warnings and burn bans have been lifted. Firefighter Ryan Meyer, I'm sure it's always a time of high alert around the fire station 2 weeks ago when we had all that dry weather. Did you guys make a lot of runs, or is that something more for the rural area?
We made quite a few runs. Tri-Township made quite a few runs, too. I mean, we deal with trash fires and stuff in the city a lot. So, I mean, we're busy. They were busy, too. So.
Well, Rouse County was really busy. They had, 350 acres of forest land burned down there. So that got out of control really fast, and they had to even cut down trees and build a fire break. My gosh, you thought you were out in California with what they were dealing with. So it's nice that threat has been remediated. However, yes, we got some good soaking rain, but it's never a good idea to have an open fire burning, is it?
No, I mean, we do have a city ordinance in town that is pretty particular on what you can do. It's split firewood in a fire pit of some sort, whether it's a commercial bought or a homemade one. It's just got to be contained within some sort of fire pit. Once again, it's split firewood, seasoned firewood, not green limbs that just fell off the tree, no trash, no dimensional lumber. Have to have a water source nearby to be able to put it out. And it has to be attended at all times.
So. Bucket of sand, bucket of water, or the hose. And as you know, as people start to winterize their homes, they take their hose down. You know, so again, if you're going to go out and build a bonfire, you better have a couple of buckets of water and some buckets of sand or dirt to throw on there, because it can get out of control really, really quickly. And that, of course, is for all of our safety. Thanksgiving's coming up. We always have the great. Every year, the fire department puts a turkey in a big vat of boiling oil, and it boils over, and it flashes, and I think most people by now quite understand the proper way to deep fry a turkey, but the bottom line is, you got to measure the oil with the turkey in it, right? You can't fill it up to the top with boiling oil and then put the turkey in.
Right. So when we do our demonstration every year, we do everything that's wrong. We break every rule to show the public, like, this is what can happen. So the way to get the right amount of oil is you fill up your container full of water, you put your turkey in, let the water overflow, and then pull the turkey out, and then you make a kind of visual mark. Okay, this is how much oil I need to put in there. This is the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to do it. Question I've always wondered, do you guys eat those turkeys? Do you let them go ahead and cook all the way through, or you just throw that out?
Nope, they're completely frozen when we put them in there. So, I mean, it's all
so
it's
you
got
really
the gizzard
have to
and all that stuff.
You really have to
there.
Be stupid to do this. But the reason they do it is because there's always one or two stupid people every year. I mean, it's not that you're stupid. You're just ignorant because you don't know how to cook. So you get it boiling and you throw a completely frozen turkey in there, and that's a recipe for disaster. Yeah,
but absolutely. Like I said, we do everything. We turn the timer, so we fix the timer so it doesn't shut off. We fill it all the way up. We get the oil way hotter than what it should be. Put a frozen turkey in there. So, I mean, it's just a great visualization saying, hey, this is dangerous. You know, it can be very dangerous. And don't do it under carports next to your house and stuff, just in case something else does happen.
We will talk again before Christmas, but another great visualization, unfortunately, is an artificial tree or a real tree going up in flames. It doesn't take much, does it? I mean, a real tree is a tinderbox, because the minute you cut it down, it's no longer got any. You can put it in water all you want, but the tree has stopped. It will stop taking up water eventually, and the branches will get very brittle. A lot of people don't have real trees anymore. A lot of people have artificial trees, and they may think those are safer, but they can still catch on fire.
Everything in our house can catch on fire. I mean, our house is just a tinderbox waiting for the right conditions to go up. And with Christmas season getting close, everybody's going to start putting up their Christmas lights, Christmas tree, space heaters, all that stuff as the weather cools down. And we just got to remind ourselves that fire safety is, I mean, you can still have a fire in your house at any point, but during these colder months, it increases. And so when you're putting up that Christmas tree, making sure that your Christmas lights and all that, the wires are still in good condition. You don't have any breaks in there, anything like that. Or if you're using a real tree, people still use real trees, mm-hmm. putting it in water, keeping it watered, keeping an eye on it, and just being safe. I mean, I know people have pets and stuff, and they can get dogs like to chew on wires and stuff. So just be mindful of all the different electrical hazards that are being introduced into your house during this time, and just practice safe fire safety.
A lot of people like the old-fashioned lights, the big ones I had when I was a kid. You're too young to remember that, but you know, those are old-fashioned and everything. But now most people go to LED, which don't have any heat. Right. Which helps a lot. It doesn't dry out your Christmas tree, for one thing, if it's real. But you can get old-fashioned-y looking lights that are LEDs. And I think most firefighters would say, if you're going to put lights on your tree, put LED lights on your tree.
Yep. I mean, they use less energy.
Same outside, too.
Yep. LED lights use less energy, so you can get some cost savings there, too. So, yep, absolutely. Those old incandescent lights, they put off more heat, and they're only going to cause a bigger fire safety hazard.
Okay. We're talking today to firefighter Ryan Meyer. The Quincy Fire Department is uniquely positioned to do rescues in and around Quincy, and often is a first responder that gets there before, actually, the ambulance can get there. I want to talk to you a little bit about the EMT and paramedics who are also Quincy firefighters. Recently, I witnessed an accident scene. I didn't see the start of the accident, but I saw the aftermath of the accident. It really turned out to be very minor, but one of the people who was a passenger in the vehicle, a big SUV, became so distraught and so chaotic and was screaming at the top of her lungs and was saying how much pain she was in. And, you know, for the civilian spectators, including myself, around, and the crowd grew to dozens because of the screaming of this woman. People were coming downtown out of apartment buildings from the third floor, racing down to see how they could assist. The fire department arrived, and then everybody kind of stood back and let you guys deal with the chaos and the mess. Talk a little bit about how difficult it is, because one of the reasons I like to have the fire crews on is just to talk about what your day-to-day life is like. You pull up on a traffic accident situation sometimes, and I've also been a witness of a terrible traffic accident. A motorcycle ran into a vehicle, and you guys were right there. I mean, right there. And this guy was badly, badly, badly injured. This lady, who knows what her story was. But obviously being calm is the first and foremost thing. But how do you assess when you pull up? You've got 911 information. You've got maybe spectators will say, the lady's over here and she's hurt. But how do you assess a situation when that kind of chaos and screaming is going on?
So first, all Quincy Fire Department firefighters are at least trained to a level of EMT basic. And there's a good number of us that are paramedics, close to about 20 of us that are paramedics. So we spend, you know, a lot of time and a lot of training in the medical side of it. And the reason we do show up first to a lot of medical scenes, car accidents, things like that, is because of how we're situated throughout the city, especially on our south and west side of Quincy, where the ambulance quarters is a little bit further away than what our local engine houses are. We're going to get there first, and so we're going to be able to assess the situation and see what's going on. And when you have a patient that is screaming and yelling and everything, you just kind of fall back on the basics of, like, your week one acronym we use is MARCH. So massive hemorrhaging, airway, respirations, circulation, and so on and so forth. And so when that person's just screaming, you're just thinking, okay, looking for that massive bleeding first, and their airway, well, if they're screaming, they're breathing. Circulation, you know, you're looking for, you know, see if they got circulation, checking their finger, seeing if they got cap refill and things like that. So we just kind of fall back on that basic level of training. And if the person's screaming everything, we know that, you know, they're in some sort of pain possibly or something's going on, but we know at least, okay, they're alive. and they're breathing. So that's like two of the main things that we need to worry about. And then we just go from there. And I mean, if they're, we check, you know, start trying to check to see if they have any internal injuries, such as broken bones and stuff like that. And then just kind of just trying to talk to them and calming them down and all that. So it looks difficult from the outside, and sometimes it is difficult from our perspective, but you just kind of like, okay, you know, they experienced something traumatic in their mind. They actually did experience something traumatic. So we just got to treat them the best we can and just try to calm them down. And if they just don't calm down, we just need to look at, you know, see, look for injuries, see why they are that upset.
Yeah, this, I mean, you know, again, I'm armchair quarterbacking, but this was beyond, this was something going on upstairs mentally that had very little to do with what had just happened, I think. You know, and again, people's level of pain are very different. But as you say, when you come on the scene and somebody is screaming at the top of their lungs, they're alive. But you got to figure out screaming about how much pain they're in. And so you start, well, they don't have any broken bones. Internal injuries are always a, you can't see that from outside. But I thought it was very interesting because the firefighters were able to get the person to calm down. And at first it was a very soothing voice that I noticed that you guys were using. And then as time went on and you know, you were really trying to make this assessment, the lead person with a stethoscope said, you know, got a little bit more firm and said, you are going to have to be quiet. I know you're in pain. I mean, acknowledging her fear and her pain, but I can't examine you if you're screaming that loud. I mean, it really comes down to sometimes you have to go from soft comforter voice to kind of firm and in command voice, right?
Yeah. Sometimes it's just breaking through that, mental aspect in their brain of like they were just in traumatic accident. In their mind, it was very traumatic. And sometimes just that very stern voice of like, you need to calm down helps break that wall to say,
I'm here to help you. I will get rid of your pain if you just allow me to do my job. When you come on scenes like that, what should people do that are spectators? I mean, obviously a few people that were there first were very hands-on and active. I stood back and just, you know, probably annoying to you guys and everybody else, like, why are you still here? Couldn't you go away? But I kind of wanted to see what was the outcome of this woman.
Right.
What should people who come upon a scene like that do? Because it's our natural instinct to want to look. I mean, you know, it's like a train wreck. You can't turn away. But we don't want to get involved to where we're interfering with you, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, we just, once we get on scene, like, just take a step back. If you were an eyewitness, you know, explain some. If you're holding the, you know, if there's some sort of injury that you're holding, let us know that so we can, you know, take over that. But if you're just standing around spectating, take a good number of steps back. We got a big fire truck coming in. We, you know, if we need backboards, bags, stuff like that, we need space to be able to come in. Then the ambulance comes in with their stretcher and all that stuff. So we need space. And on the medical side, yeah, absolutely. Give us some space. We're going to be talking to a patient. We're going to be asking them some medical questions. And the further, the more space we have, the more can that patient's going to be towards us.
Yeah, privacy and dignity,
yeah, privacy,
too.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But if you were an eyewitness to what happened, especially a car crash, something like that, or, I mean, if you just come across someone that you call 911 for because they're laying on the ground or something like that, just stand by till we get there and we can talk to you so we know what's going on. We get those calls where it's just like, oh, someone's laying on a bench, and we get there and person's either gone or laying there, and it's just, we don't know what's going on. So just give us the information that you know when we get there, and then just kind of stay, take a step back. But on fire scenes, car wrecks, car fire, stuff like that, out of our way. Move out of the way as we get there.
Yeah.
Especially like house fires, car fires. We can see where the fire's coming from. There's smoke and all that stuff. We have, you know, people block the street waving us in, but then they're blocking us from getting in there. So, yeah, just, we appreciate the help, but help us by also moving out of the way so then we can get to work and not getting too close to our apparatuses. We're opening doors. We're, you know, pulling ladders and stuff out, and you come right behind the truck, and as we're trying to pull a ladder out, we have to worry about you as well as what else is going on.
Okay. My guest today is Firefighter Ryan Meyer from the Quincy Fire Department. You guys always come prepared to talk about something. I haven't even asked you what that something is this month. What did your boss tell you? Be sure to tell this. I want you to get this message out. And Griffith never shut up enough to let you do it, so now I'm going to do it.
Just fire safety with this holiday season coming up. Just be smart. Be safe. We do have our Christmas open house December 20th at Central Fire Station. We don't have a time set yet for that. We haven't published
that. Did
you
say the 20th or the 12th?
20th.
Okay. Well, you'll let me know.
Yep. So, I mean, we'll be back sure. in December
yeah.
to talk about it then. But, yeah, we have the Christmas open house. It's a huge deal. It's fun for us.
Yeah,
it's fun for everybody
you.
To
yeah.
come in Central Fire Station. Central Fire Station's probably one of the coolest buildings in town, being
it
almost
really
100
is.
Years old. So we enjoy everybody coming down, get to see Santa, fire truck rides, all that fun stuff.
Santa was a firefighter before he was Santa Claus, is what I understand. Oh, congratulations on your pay raise.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's retroactive. It's so funny. You guys you've been working without a contract for 6 months. That just goes to show you would never think of going on strike or throwing, say, we're not going to do our job just because we haven't reached a contract agreement. I mean, that's
legally,
the one thing.
Legally, we're not allowed
legally
to.
You're not allowed to. But even if you were legally allowed to, I don't think anybody in the firefighting business would say, hey, let's all not show up tomorrow. That'll put some pressure on them. So I'm glad you and the city were able to come to an agreement. And are we at full force right now?
We have three guys finishing up an academy, and we just had another guy start this week. So we are close, if not at. I can't tell you. I'm just a firefighter.
He's just Ryan Meyer, not the big dog. But you're constantly, you know, you've got people retiring, so the Fire and Police Commission is bringing more people on to replace that.
Yeah, okay. So we got one guy retiring this month, and, you know, we got a bunch of guys that are getting close to that retirement age, kicking around the idea. So at any point, we could be back below minimum manning.
Well, at any point, I will never be able to be a firefighter because I can't handle any kind of drama unless I am the cause of it. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about tea at the Lorenzo Bullhouse. I'm sure Chad wants to be there with his pinky out. This broadcast is brought to you by Corteva, and we'll be right back. We're 20 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. Thank you to Corteva for sponsoring and for the Ursa Farmers Cooperative for always having that great farm market information on the Mary Griffith Show, sponsored by Refreshment Services Pepsi. The Lorenzo Bullhouse, there at the corner of 16th and Main on the southwest corner. For many, many years, very few people went in that home. Very few people walked on those grounds. But now it's become publicly known that the Park District owns it, and the Friends of the Lorenzo Bullhouse, a not-for-profit organization, kind of manage and control it and raise funds for it. And Hollis Axelrod is here. Pull that microphone real close to your face. I don't want you to have to move closer. There you go. Get it real close there. Hollis, welcome back. Talk
Thank
a little
you.
Bit about the Lorenzo Bullhouse in general, and then we'll get to the tea that you have coming up. So the Lorenzo Bullhouse.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm
always great.
Back. just for
great.
One quick minute, I'd like to thank everybody who came to the Quincy Preserves house tour. We had over 1,000 people, and it was so successful. It was
that
a gorgeous day, and I just wanted to thank everybody who came. But back to Lorenzo Bull, yes, we've decided that we need to have more than just one fundraiser a year. So our kitchen is up to snuff. It is certified. We have our new hood, and we are just having more and more functions there. And we have a couple of upcoming functions, and the first one is November 17th. We're having tea at the mansion on Main, and Margaret Bull will be there. She loved having her friends come to the house for tea, and she will be there that day to greet everybody who's coming.
And, of course, She'll just be portrayed.
Yes.
She's not coming back from
yes.
the grave.
I could tell you who it is, but then...
well, no, it's going to be Margaret Bull.
It's of course.
Absolutely. Now, this is considered high tea on November 17th at 2 p.m.
Yes.
1550 Main Street. It costs $40.
Limited seating.
Limited seating, because you're going to be in basically the formal dining area.
We're going to be in the library, the living room, and the dining room. We have enough for 78 tickets. And we're more than halfway there.
You know, the great thing about this is a lot of people are going, what am I going to get Grandma for Christmas? What am I going to get Mom for Christmas? What am I going to get my great aunt for Christmas? Taking them to this on November 17th, well before the Christmas holiday rush begins, back when the weather's probably going to be good and there's not going to be 20 feet of snow on the ground, 78 people, you know, a nice intimate setting. And, you know, what a wonderful, wonderful day for girls. You know, I think
and guys.
We have
6 men coming.
Wow.
That I know of.
Well, I know Dick Wellman is probably one of them.
Well, we're staff that
staff.
Day. Yes.
Dick the butler.
we both are. I rarely use this word, but it's going to be lavish.
Mm.
And I don't use that word lightly.
Well, then
it is going to be
what it's going to be.
Well, we're having, of course, all the favorite foods that you get at a high tea.
A cucumber sandwich.
Oh, better than that. Yes, we're having that, but we're also having Quincy's famous chicken salad. We're having complimentary mimosas. We're having homemade desserts, scones, tarts. We're going all out. The decorations will be beautiful. We just can't wait.
You had me at mimosa.
Oh,
I mean, how many teas have a mimosa served?
Everyone that I've been to.
Oh, yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with starting that tradition up. I think even the Queen, with her special jam every afternoon, didn't mind having a little nip now and then. The $40 fee, of course, it's a fundraiser,
yes.
So you're going to have a lovely assortment of teas,
yes.
Probably. And
well, we have a special Lorenzo Bull blend, and actually, I just want to give away all the surprises,
okay.
But
you
may be leaving with a little parting gift.
Oh, a parting gift. Who's helping you do all this?
The board.
Okay.
It is us. And we're happy to do it. We have matching aprons. We're very excited. It's going to be a party.
It's
you know me.
It's going to be a party.
If I'm involved, it's a party.
It's going to be a party. I love it. So be prepared to socialize with 78 of Quincy's highfalutin for one day. You know, that's the great thing about it. You're going to get to see the home. You're going to get to... enjoy the product of the kitchen, which was a big part of getting the Lorenzo mm-hmm. Bull home up to where you could have fundraisers.
Very
and
big
And could
deal.
Do things. So, yeah, that's critically important. It seems that whenever we talk about the Lorenzo Bull House, it's, I won't say one step forward, two steps back. It's two steps forward, but there's always one step back, because the minute you start fixing this porch, then you find out the roof needs fixing, too. And then you start fixing the roof, and you find out something else is going on. Can you explain the symbiotic relationship between the Park Board and the Lorenzo Bull friends? Because the Park Board hasn't abandoned the home.
No,
they still get funding.
Yes,
but they
are
can't
in partnership.
Afford, yeah, they just can't afford it.
They're paying for the roof.
Right.
We're in partnership. We help with the porch. We help with the new hood. We do the gardens by ourselves. We recently got a grant to do a big signage on the corner of that famous corner. We're going to keep going with the Park District. And eventually, I'm sure the Park District would like us to be independent, but we're not ready.
Right.
We're not ready. We need them.
And they need you. Because at some point in time, they don't want that home to fall into disrepair.
No, none of us do. Yeah.
And really, that was the case a few years ago. It was sliding downhill rather rapidly, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Beyond your ken?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know not a lot had been done to it for a while, so
maybe
that's the problem.
We do have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. It includes a lot of things on the inside with the help of Women City Club, too.
Yes.
They're still very involved.
The Women City Club is still actively using that. You can have any kind of event there. I mean, it's for rent. So
yes.
if you want to have a
wedding,
a bridal shower,
yes.
a wedding reception, if you want to get married on the front porch of the Lorenzo Bull House, you can do any of those things. And I think for a long time, people thought, oh, no, that's off limits. That was privately held. It is not privately held. It is.
It's
part
one
of
the most reasonable event spaces in Quincy to rent. We, end of September, early October, we had a murdery mystery mm-hmm. dinner that was so much fun. It was an auction item at our gala, and 12 people went for it, and it was just out of this world. And during the Quincy Preserves tour, we had the table set, and we had a picture of Inspector Morris Code, who was who helped solve the murder, and we were hyping the fact that this is the spot if you want to have a murder mystery party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean it was wonderful.
So
we used every single room.
If you're out there listening,
yes.
Let's get that. I'll be talking to her at 10. We're off the air with some ideas. The Friends of the Lorenzo Bull House are putting on Tea at the Mansion on Main. It is going to be November 17th at 2 o'clock. Tickets are limited to 78 tickets only. They're $40 a piece, and so we'll want to get those soon. Before we take a break, we'll give that number and how to get tickets, and then if you can't grab your pencil fast enough, we'll give it again after we come back on the other side of our commercial break. But Hollis, how can we get tickets?
Okay, so you go to our website, Friends of the Lorenzo Bull, and you click on Events, and then you click on the T, and it's right there. It's so easy.
Okay, you can do it that way, or you can just call 228-7393. 228-7393 in the butler will answer the
yes.
phone.
Aww.
Margaret Bull will not be able to come to the phone, but her butler will take your
yes.
reservation.
But
for
she
you.
Will be there.
But she will be there.
Yes.
So we'll see. Now I will know a lot more about her before the day is over. We'll take a break. We'll come right back.
Thank you.
We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, Hollis Axelrod, my guest today. And if you want to come to this tea, and again, November 17th is kind of an interesting day. That's a Sunday afternoon.
Yes, it is.
And so, you know, it's during the day. I know there's a lot of people who maybe don't want to drive at night. You're looking for something to do for the holidays, maybe for somebody who, you know, you just don't know what to buy for because they got every physical thing they could possibly
exactly.
want. This would be a great thing. I'm assured that you don't have to dress up, I'm sure, and wear a fascinator, but I'm sure there will be a lot of people with white gloves and top hats and fascinator hats and maybe a little bit more formal and dignified wear, but not required, but always nice when you're going to a soiree
yes.
to put on your Sunday best.
Of course.
As they would say.
And we have six men coming.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's for couples.
It's a happening.
It's a happening. It's for couples. It's for people who want to take that last break before the holiday shuffle really
begins.
It's for
Nana to bring her grandchildren.
Yes.
We're very kid-friendly.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll have really yummy food.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Cucumber sandwiches, chicken salad, which we serve very elegantly. mimosas to go along with the tea.
Scones.
The special Lorenzo Bull blend of
yes,
tea.
Yes, of tea, yes. Made especially for us.
And there'll be other teas there as well. Scones, tarts, all kinds of finger foods that are delightful. A parting gift, probably, for everyone who attends.
Absolutely.
And only 78 people can attend. You mentioned the 5- and 10-year plan of the Lorenzo Bull House, and you're so involved in Quincy Preserves as well. It is critical, isn't it, that we keep these older icons of our community up and running.
Oh, yes.
And, you know.
My favorite thing to do is to give a tour of the Bull House. People have no idea what they may have played bridge on the main floor, but no one knows how beautiful it is upstairs. And I show them the bedrooms and the closets are just, huge. And we talk about the history, and we talk about the little pieces that we're acquiring of really bull pieces that used to be in the house. And it's my favorite thing to do, is to show people, to show the house off.
We've only got about 4 minutes left, but would you kind of give us just a brief synopsis of who Lorenzo and Margaret Bull were and why they were so important to Quincy, and this was their country home.
Yes.
Now we think of 16th and Main in the middle of the town, but at the time it was built, it was not in the middle of the town, was it?
Right. Well, you know, we know that he was very wealthy and that he started the first bank of Quincy. He brought water to Quincy. He brought the train system to Quincy, that's now Amtrak. He started the first library of Quincy. This man really brought Quincy, put Quincy on the map. And
Where did he hail from?
Out east.
Yeah, so
out
just
east.
Like John Wood and the others, he was like a patrician from the New York, upstate New York, New England area that came out here.
Yes, and upstairs in one of our rooms, we have two watercolors by one of Lorenzo Bull's daughters that is on loan from us from the Art Center. So it just really is a collaboration of collecting pieces and bringing back this house to life.
Will people that go on the T be able to tour the upstairs?
You know what? I'm really not sure.
Okay.
But if someone, you know, tugs at me, of course I will.
Take the watercolor and bring it down and put it on display.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Don't hide the light under the bushel basket.
Yeah, it's just my favorite thing to do is to show the house off.
I can tell. You're just lit up and illuminated. You know, it takes a lot of volunteers. We all have a special place. You know, your place is
we have a very
Lorenzo
special board.
Bull House. Your place is Quincy Preserves.
We have a very hardworking board.
Yes.
Dedicated. You know, we're all volunteers just doing the best we can. There's no paid staff.
Right.
And so we're kind of different than the Art Center and Quincy Museum. We're all volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
no executive to rule over you. You just have to come to true democratic agreement.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Dick and I run a tough ship.
Yeah, the butler and the head housekeeper.
The head party person.
I was going to say, you're like Downton Abbey.
We would love
you
to be.
You are like Downton Abbey. Folks, they want you to come to the T on Sunday afternoon, November 17th at 2 p.m. Call today for tickets, 228-7393, 228-7393. Also, if you want to rent the Lorenzo Bull home for any occasion, any day of the week, morning, noon, night, they don't care. It's open. They're willing to work with you on whatever to accommodate your
needs. We'll help you plan a murder.
Yeah. I got to talk to you about that. We really got to talk about that. But there's a lot going on, and so help the Lorenzo Bull House. Buy tickets to the T, and if you just want to donate to the Lorenzo Bull House, how do we do that?
Become a member. Come to our website. Come to one of our membership parties. Come to our gala in June. You'll have a great time. You'll meet a lot of new people, and you'll just feel good about being in our community.
Thank you, Hollis Axelrod.
Thank you.